mental health crisis, he or she can be involuntarily committed to a mental hospital. First, a state investigator must determine that the family member is an imminent danger to themselves or others. But if that investigator decides there is no imminent danger, you have very few options. A bill in the state legislature aims to address that. It would allow family members to petition the court to have somebody committed for up to 48 hours. The bill is known as Joel's Law. Austin Jenkins is our Olympia correspondent. He joins us with more details. Hi, Austin.
Good afternoon, Marcy.
The bill is named for a man named Joel Reuter. What happened to him?
Well, Joel was a 28-year-old software engineer in Seattle. He had bipolar disorder. And to hear his father tell it, he had been decompensating for months. Police had been called to his home numerous times. He'd had a high-speed car crash that they believe was an attempted suicide. He had been hospitalized, but then when he got out, he started going downhill again. And it all came to a head in July of 2013. That's when Joel got in a lengthy standoff with police on Capitol Hill. His father says Joel thought the officers were zombies, and it all ended when Joel stepped out onto his balcony with a loaded gun. He fired that gun. Police returned fire, and Joel was killed.
His parents tried to have Joel committed, but they couldn't do that legally. Why not?
Well, under current Washington law, only a designated county mental health provider, or you use the term investigator, can recommend involuntary treatment under the state's Involuntary Treatment Act. These evaluations happen about 20,000 times a year in Washington. Fewer than half of those who are evaluated are deemed to meet the criteria for commitment and thus committed. And as you mentioned before, the threshold is imminent threat to themselves or others. So Joel's Law would allow families to essentially appeal or challenge a decision to not commit a loved one. They could go to a judge, present their own case, and ask for the judge to basically override the mental health professional's decision in the case. Joel's father says, look, this isn't a panacea, but it's a baby step, but he says it might have made a difference in his son's case.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Washington doesn't support this bill, Austin. Why not?
The ACLU says that while it's sympathetic to the families who support this, that it believes that involuntary commitment is not the right mechanism. The ACLU says the answer is community-based treatment. The ACLU says involuntary commitment is a significant deprivation of liberty and should only occur if there are compelling medical reasons to do so. And basically, the ACLU says, look, Olympia needs to restore funding for community outpatients, so it doesn't even get to this point.
I'm speaking with KUOW's Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins, about a bill known as Joel's Law. Also with us is David Johnson. He's the CEO of Navos, which is a Seattle-based mental health service provider. And David's a supporter of Joel's Law. Thank you for coming into the studios today. Why do you support this?
This is a good piece of legislation, and it respects the wisdom of families. For decades before their loved one may come in contact with the mental health system, and for decades afterwards, they will be the ones who have been the caregivers and who will have to be the caregivers afterwards. And they know where things are often headed with their loved one, and this bill gives them an opportunity to protest if they feel that important information has not been given credence.
What do you think is wrong with the way that the system has worked up to this point?
Fundamentally, I think that it's a sign of the stigma about mental illness that the families of people who have major mental illnesses are still somewhat considered by many to be the cause of the mental illness. This isn't the case. And so this law stops a lot of the suspicion that there has been around the family of mentally ill people, and instead listens to their wisdom and allows that to be taken into account.
What about the ACLU's criticism that the person in crisis actually loses some civil liberties if they're involuntarily committed?
They're absolutely right, and one never wants that to happen unless it's absolutely necessary. I have a 70-bed psychiatric hospital, and every person in my hospital is involuntarily committed. They come strapped to a gurney in an ambulance, and they're put in a locked ward. That's a horrible experience, and that in and of itself is a traumatizing experience. So we never want to get to that point unless there is no other hope for people to be kept safe. The ACLU are wonderful people, and they have backed many issues that have been to the benefit of people with disabilities like the mentally ill. we differ on this particular issue.
You mentioned recognizing the role of a family and the rights of a family. Ultimately, if Joel's Law is enacted, what does it mean for family members of people who are undergoing mental health crises?
It means that people like the Reuters, who are a wonderful family and who were very frightened about what they thought would happen to their son, and sadly, they were right. It means that families like that who are quite sure that the decision not to detain was a wrong decision have a mechanism to protest that. They don't have the say in detaining that person, but there's a mechanism for them to write a protest and to have that be considered.
So it means a lot to the families. What about the person who is undergoing the crisis or has the mental illness?
I've been in this business for about 40 years, and I've worked with many, many people with major mental illnesses who have gone through involuntary commitment. At the time that they're detained, that's not what they're wanting. I have never talked to one who wasn't glad to still be alive after the crisis was over. Sometimes they've had bad experiences during the detention, but in the end, they want to choose life as well.
David Johnson is CEO of Navos, which is a Seattle-based mental health service provider. Thanks for coming in. Austin Jenkins is still with us. And Austin, I understand a version of Joel's Law passed through both the House and Senate. Is anything standing in the way of full passage and enactment?
Well, the two bills are different, but it doesn't appear that these differences are going to doom the prospect of this passing. These are technical or procedural differences. The sponsor of the House measure said she doesn't see any barrier to getting this done this year. Keep in mind, Joel's Law was considered last year. It passed the House and failed in the Senate, and actually it was the first bill to pass off the floor of the House again this year. But I think the governor is inclined to sign it if he gets it. They are estimating it would add potentially 200 to 500 additional patients who would be involuntarily detained a year, and that comes with a cost, probably about $14 to $15 million a year. So price and cost could be an issue, but these bills have gone through the fiscal committees, and so far they're still moving, and as we mentioned, they've passed both chambers. Now it's just about reconciling the differences.
What other measures when it comes to mental health are still alive in the legislature?
Well, the state is being sued right now over delays in getting county jail inmates seen for mental health competency evaluations. In fact, there's a federal trial that's supposed to start next week. There's also delays in getting these jail inmates competency restoration services, and that's basically a bed in either Western State or Eastern State if they need it. Even the state admits that some of these long wait times are, quote, indefensible. So there's legislation that actually passed the Washington House just within the last hour or so to establish a 14-day maximum wait time for these jail inmates. Right now, the target is 7 days, but admittedly, the state is often not meeting that. And you still have advocates saying that 14 days is too long, but this would at least put something in statute saying you have to get to them by that certain date.
That is the so-called psychiatric boarding issue that we've been seeing.
This is different, actually. This deals with jail inmate psychiatric boarding was for people who were involuntarily committed under the ITA. But you're getting to probably the next obvious question, which is why is mental health such a big issue?
Why is mental health such a big issue, Austin?
There we go. It's such a big issue because there have been, you know, several lawsuits. You mentioned the mental health boarding issue. That was a Supreme Court decision last year. And there's also just been high profile incidents like the Joel Reuters death, like the murder of Sheena Henderson in Spokane last summer. She was murdered in her workplace by her estranged husband who was mentally ill. There are bills to try to address some of the issues in that case. So you've got high-profile incidents. You've got families who have actively engaged the legislature. The Reuters moved here last year, according to the Seattle Times, to lobby on this. He's a former Minnesota state lawmaker, so he understands, the dad does, how the legislative process works. And you've then got the Supreme Court cases and a sense that during the Great Recession that funding did not keep up with the needs. And so that now that we've got some money coming back into the coffers, a real push to start to rebuild the mental health safety net.
KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks to you, David Johnson.
Thank you very much.